Today we continue our series on the Ten Commandments called Ten Stupid Things People Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And we're up to the fourth commandment, which is about keeping the Sabbath. However, I thought I'd make you wait for that one, because it's Father's Day today. So surely it would be better to skip the Sabbath. We'll come back to that. And to take the fifth one, 10 stupid things people do, or the fifth stupid thing people do to mess up their lives is fail to honour their parents. Honour your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. One of the important things when preparing a message is that you consider your congregation. You think about who are you speaking to and what might be appropriate for them. You know, what's relevant what issues that are relevant that you're going to bring. So I'd like to do a quick survey. How many of you still have one or both parents alive? Hands up. Actually, there's probably more than what I was anticipating, but very few of us. So it did put me in a little bit of a dilemma. But I thought, you can't just skip over this commandment, can you? If you're doing a series on the Ten Commandments, you can't just go, oh, well, we won't do that because that's not relevant. So I'm going to play pretend. I'm going to preach it like we've got a church full of people with parents. And I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to work out what people need to pay attention to. And I certainly hope and pray that there will be some there. In our society, the family has been put through the mill. It's had a bit of a rough time over recent decades, hasn't it? You know, it can be all sorts of things we like to point the finger at. It might be just the breakdown of marriages. It's the pressures on family are far greater now than what they used to be. The pressure of needing two incomes has a significant impact on families. There's a whole variety of forms of families which adds to the complexity. And then there's government stuff and interference and rules and regulations and all. The bottom line is it's been pretty tough for families, for the survival of families, for the health of families. So sadly, too many kids, and actually not just kids, adults as well, they don't understand what a healthy parent-child relationship looks like. I believe that God designed the family to be the backbone of society, or the building block of society. The family is meant to be a place where we learn to honour, where we learn to obey and respect authority. The family is meant to be a place where we learn to love and to be loved. The family is meant to be a place where we learn when we learn how to relate to each other. And God created the family to be the basic building block of our relational world. So we shouldn't really be surprised when God's first commandment about human relationships, not the first commandment, but the first one about human relationships, is focused on the family. So this fifth commandment, if you put them all in a row and you take this fifth one, sort of shows a slight shift in direction. The first four commandments are more to do with our relationship with God, that vertical relationship. Put God first. Stop trying to shrink God down into smaller, manageable images. Treat God seriously. The one that we'll come back to after I get back from holiday, about neglecting the Sabbath. So God is the focus in the first four. But in the next six commands, the focus is more horizontal. It's focused more on our relationships with one another. And interestingly, the fifth commandment is the only commandment that has a promise attached to it. Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God has given you. So, obviously, this commandment shouldn't be taken lightly, even if for the only a self-interested reason of having a good long life. You might ask, how does honouring your parents enable you to have a long life? Well, certainly if we listen to our parents when we're little, we can keep ourselves from doing a whole lot of stupid things that shorten our lives. Don't play on the road. Don't drink from any of the cleaning bottles under the sink. Don't get into strangers' cars. Don't play with knives. Don't take drugs. Don't drink and drive. There is a whole lot of handy tips that parents give their children designed to keep them safe so that they will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. But there are other ways that our lives can be cut short from those very practical reasons. And that's more from the psychological side of things, the emotional side of life. And where there's a real possibility to be eaten up on the inside by anger, by bitterness, by unforgiveness, for all the different ways that our parents may have failed us. These sorts of thoughts and emotions can cripple us from having a long and full life. Years ago, Gay and I were doing some pre-marriage counselling with a couple, and she had had a pretty bad relationship with her father. Most of the time he either wasn't there, or when he was abusive. It was a few years after she had accepted Christ. But initially, she really wasn't able to deal properly with those negative feelings that she had towards her father. And this was actually impacting her relationship with her fiancé. And we were spending some time with them beforehand, before they married. In those times, she began to open up and tell us what had happened. I wasn't surprised that she was having some issues. Yeah, she had been a Christian, a few years, and she had heard sermons about forgiveness, but always in the back of her mind, she was thinking, but God doesn't know my father. God doesn't understand it. And she understandably felt justified in holding back forgiveness toward him. After all, he had pretty much ruined her life. However, those feelings weren't actually negatively impacting her abusive father, but they were actually just screwing up her and her relationship with her fiancé's life. Something had to happen. Somehow, and God only knows, but somehow forgiveness needs to occur. Honor needed to be restored for her sake, for her husband-to-be's sake, for her future children's sake. So she went through a process. They actually delayed their wedding a little bit as she worked through some of that stuff, which she did. I saw on Facebook just a few months ago they celebrated 30 years. I'm sure some of you could talk about parents, maybe in a similar way, might have been alcoholics, workaholics, or just overly harsh or abusive or uncaring. Parents who caused deep pain or disappointment. And if that is your situation, you'll have a real question. How in the world can you honour your mum and or your dad? Is God asking you to put on a happy face? and act like everything is fine. No. No, it's not. Of course not. Is God asking you to bury your pain and not feel it or face it? No, definitely not. Does he want you to pretend to honor your parents in some inauthentic way? No. But how you respond to this commandment of God could radically change your life. How can you honor your mum and dad? Interestingly, when the Apostle Paul wrote about this commandment in Ephesians, he added a little bit of commentary on fair parenting. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for it is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. He saw that too. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. And so that's the commandment. So then he goes on. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. In other words, parents, don't make it hard for your children to honor their parents. Parents who give their kids a hard time need to not only think through the strategies of fear, discipline and punishment, but they also need to take a good look in the mirror. It might be that the rebellious behavior is a response to exasperation, of frustration, that they don't connect or they're not connecting with their parents. Maybe it's children that haven't been given the attention, the one-on-one attention, the love, the interest that will lead them to honor their parents. Paul seems to be saying that there's this quid pro quo element to the fifth commandment. Honor and respect may well be returned because of the investment of love. And I'm sure a whole lot of you have recognized that either in your upbringing or as you raised children. Honoring your parents is a serious matter. It's the fifth commandment. One of the foundational institutions that God holds dearly is the family. It's extremely important in learning how to relate to others and learning how to relate to God. Therefore, God says, honor your parents. Whether they were good, whether they were bad, we are to honor our father and mother. In the book of Leviticus, it's the book of the laws of Moses. It's honoring your parents is taken very seriously. Did I write this up there? Yes, I did. Anyone who dishonors father or mother must be put to death. Whew. Such a person is guilty of a capital offense. And then the writer in Proverbs makes a couple of comments. If you insult your father or mother, your light will be snuffed out in total darkness. And the eye that mocks a father and despises a mother's instructions will be plucked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. It's pretty graphic, isn't it? It's actually worth memorizing these passages and raising them at an appropriate time to your children. There are some verses that are worthwhile remembering and others that are just a waste of time, but these ones are probably worthwhile. Perhaps the question needs to be asked, why does God demand this of us? For those who come from warm, secure home backgrounds, this is an easy command to obey. For those with parents who were distant, maybe cruel, abusive, maybe mentally ill, depressed. This is a harder command, much, much harder. I want to give quickly just three reasons of why God expects us to honour them anyway. Our lives are blessed. We're to honour our parents because if we do, our lives will be blessed. Those who honour their father and mother will prosper, and then you will live a long, full life. Life will go well for him. And perhaps one of the ways that this might be experienced is receiving the same honour and respect from your own children. When you begin to get older, you know, children learn how to care and honour the parents by watching their parents, how they relate to their parents' parents, to the grandparents. Growing old is a scary experience. It's not for the faint-hearted, and I know I'm not telling you anything new. We start out in life totally dependent on others. We then move gradually into independence and self-sufficiency. And then as the years advance even more, that independence pendulum tends to swing back again in the opposite direction. And we can often become more dependent again, dependent on others for care, for transport, for welfare. And that prospect of losing our independence can be deeply frightening. Those who modelled honour and respect for their parents in the past will most likely face the future with a sense of peace and confidence because you've been the example to your own children. What goes around is likely to come around. Honouring your parents is the right thing to do. That passage that we mentioned before in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, where Paul says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for it's the right thing to do." There are some things that God asks of us where we don't necessarily understand everything about it. And really, the reason is because it's the right thing to do. As I mentioned in the first message of this series, you know, our contemporary culture tends not to ask the question what is right and what is wrong. They just measure their feelings, they measure their emotions and go with that, and that's right. And of course, our emotions and feelings sometimes can be all over the place. Sometimes doing the right thing by God is not necessarily what we might choose when we think about it intellectually or when we think about it emotionally. For those who did unfortunately come from dysfunctional families, the whole concept of honouring your father and mother, well, it requires special grace, doesn't it? It may not be what some feel like doing. It may not seem like this is just. But Paul is saying here, it's the right thing to do. In honouring one's parents, we comply with God's standards. And he actually has a pretty impressive track record when he sets out those standards. The third thing there is honouring parents pleases God. So we've read out of Ephesians, but Colossians, the book of Colossians, has similar themes as the letter in Ephesians. And here Paul says, "Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord." God is pleased with those who obey his guidance. And given who God is and all that he does and all that he can do, surely we are far better off to earn God's pleasure than his displeasure. To dishonor one's parents is to dishonor God. To obey God's command is to treat parents well. And this kind of behavior puts a smile on God's face. It pleases him. So what does honoring our parents look like? Well, honoring, it's quite a broad name. Well, when we're young and living at home, to honor tends to mean to obey. Now, the areas of obedience that you would expect from a 4-year-old to a 14-year-old to a 24-year-old, if they're still living at home, each would be very, very different. The circumstances are obviously very, very different. And as the child grows, a wise parent will be constantly getting that balance right and allowing more and more self-determination. The goal of a parent is to help a child towards independence. But when we're young, to honour, primarily to obey. When our children have left home or they're out of the house in some sort of way, to honour tends to mean to respect. And you honour them by keeping in touch with them, by speaking well of them, by sending them Father's Day greetings, to listening to their perspective, their experience, their wisdom. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're following it, but you're respecting them by listening and involving them in your thinking and your thoughts. And then later in life, when our parents are moving to the end of their lives, to honour is shown through care and support. There's a wise saying, be kind to your children, for they will choose your rest home. I'm sure there was a few people that just went there through, my kids are not going to fucking well choose my rest home. The Bible teaches us the necessity of honouring parents in their old age by caring for their welfare and attending to their, sometimes to their physical and social and emotional needs. There's also, Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. So we show honour in different ways at different times. When they're young, it tends to be around obedience. When we leave home, we respect them as an adult. And as our parents grow old, we care for them and support them. Now, if honouring your parents causes you great pain, or the thought of honouring your parents causes you great pain, whether they're still alive or not is actually irrelevant. Let me just encourage you. Don't ignore that pain. Don't stuff the pain down. Let your pain come out. Find someone who is safe enough to talk that through with it. You need to work that through so that you can process it properly. Sometimes that can be done over a few weeks or months. Sometimes it can take years. You just don't know. But you'll never be free from it until you've grieved it. And as I mentioned, discuss it with someone. That usually speeds up the healing process. You won't be able to move into the future until you've been set free from the past. And that is what this command is designed to do. And as you go through that very challenging process, you need to remember that there is one perfect father or one perfect parent, and that's God, our Heavenly Father. David in Psalms 27 says, "Even though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Knowing that we are deeply loved and accepted by God just the way we are can help us handle the worst treatment and rejection from earthly parents. I want to move into a time of communion. And communion is about remembering what Jesus did for us. I don't know whether you recall, I'm sure you do, at one stage when Jesus was praying, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't know what was going through Jesus' mind then. But in some ways he felt abandoned. Now obviously it didn't last long. He worked it through, and while we would all love to process things the way that Jesus did, we don't. But as you take communion this morning, obviously consider your relationship with God and how what Jesus did for us reconciles us with God and brings us together. Just consider, is the relationship with your parents, whether they are dead or not, it still impacts us. So consider, is there something that I need to do so that my relationship with God and my relationship with others can be as wholesome and healthy as they can be? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, there'll be a whole lot of people here that have had a really good relationship with their parents. We praise God for that. Thank you for good role models, for people who loved their kids and served their kids. Oh, sure, they didn't get everything right, but their heart was there to love and to serve. And there'll be others where this has been a real tough message to sit through. So Lord, as we gather around your table, this is all about relationship. Relationship with you, relationship with God the Father. And making sure we keep things right. So as we gather, as we dwell on what you've done for us and thank you for that and ensure that our relationship with you is strong. Lord, also help us to see if there is any blockages with our parents that is preventing us from loving in the way that we should be. Speak to us, we pray. If those who are helping to serve the communion